الهي على فلاهي على
Over the course of this month that we've been here, we've tried to go over concepts that would be benefiting us and helping us to reach the goal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has underlined for the fast in this month, the fast of the month of Ramadan, which He has said is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that we become pious, we become God-wary, we implement the commands, the orders, the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such that we do not disobey Him at all. We don't commit any sins. And we explain that in order to do so practically, we need incentives. We need motivation. We need to motivate ourselves. And when we don't have that, it's difficult, and that's why we see ourselves. Recite the salawat, please. We see ourselves, although we know many of these sins,
we know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes them, yet we still commit sins. So we said one of those incentives was fear, according to the narration of Amir al-Mu'minin salamullah alayhi. That's the first step. We need to get that fear strong in our hearts in order to avoid sin. Because they tell us, I haven't mentioned this, but let me say it tonight, that they say that the first step of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the wajibat and muharramat themselves. We know the first step in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've said it, we said in previous nights, we've quoted ulama, ahadith, verses, plenty of them, that we need to become muttaqi, taqwa. Taqwa is two things, doing the wajibat, fulfilling the obligations, taking care of those obligations, making sure we perform our prayer, our fasting, our hajj, khums, if zakat applies to what, any other obligation that we may have, fulfilling that. And then the other half of it is to avoid sins, things that are considered haram, things that we've been forbidden from, we've got to avoid. These two together are taqwa. However, they say the most important part, the first step amongst those two is to be able to avoid the sin, the muharramat, avoiding that. Wara has been mentioned first. Then making sure that we do the obligations and then we can move forward from there. So in order to do that, fear is one of the most important elements, incentives that causes us to avoid sin. And we said, there's a number of things that have been mentioned in our ahadith and the verses of the Holy Quran to try to create that in us. One of them was regarding death itself. Remembrance of death. Remembering that we're not here forever. Remembering that this life is going to come to an end. Remembering that we're going to be facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. It's not like we're going to go on forever. Everybody, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, everyone's going to be experiencing death. We want to brush that aside. We want to not think about that. But actually, we're supposed to think about that. Now, the effect of sin on death has got multiple dimensions. One of them is in regards to the time of death. The time of how we're going to die is one thing. When we are going to die, there's a certain lifespan that we're not going to live beyond that. That's our definite ajal. We're not going to reach anything more than that. That's going to be the end. But certain things that we do cause that ajal to get nearer to us, and we may die earlier than that original plan, if we can call it that. And we explain one of the ahadith that we have. The Imam was quoted to have said that we seek refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from sins that nearen and closen the ajal, death. There were two things. One was قَطِيعَةُ الرَّحِمِ or قَطْعُ الرَّحِمِ, to cut off ties with family members, people that are related to us through blood, our siblings, our parents, our uncles and aunts, our cousins. There is a certain relationship that we need to have. We tried to expand on that, and we said that we shouldn't go on any extremes either. The second one that we found there in that hadith, which we wanted to expand on a bit more tonight, or today I shall say, is it said uquq, al-uquq. Uquq is, it deals with, it has to do, because we want to expand on this, try to understand this a bit. It's mentioned in the context of our responsibilities towards our parents. We want to call it disrespect for now, not fulfilling their rights. Let's just keep that simple. We're going to expand on it, what that exactly means, because there's misunderstandings on that. When we look at the verses of the Holy Quran, the word uquq is not mentioned. What we have is something slightly different. The words that are used after mentioning and emphasizing the importance of tawheed, the importance of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not believing in any other deity, it says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Being kind, showing kindness to the parents, is an oath taken from the believers. That's how important it is. Another set of verses that we have forbid us from disrespect. One of them says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Do not say the word uff to them. What does that mean? As a person, as a human being, you want to try to do your own things, right? Especially when we're youth, in our teenage years maybe, or maybe even afterwards, you like to do things the way you want. You like to spend your time the way you like. We are all like that. Now, sometimes people tell us to do things, or they request us to do things. Now, if a person is one that we have a lot of respect for, we like them, we care for them, right? They tell us one thing and we're like up and running trying to get the job done. You see some people, for their friends, for other people outside of the house, they're willing to do and go through a lot of hardship to do things. But when it comes to their parents, doing things for them, it's not the same way. When you have that feeling of compassion, you have that feeling of friendship, you want to be with that person, you like that person, they tell you to do something, you're up and running, you're waiting for them to say something to you, to tell you to do something, you want to go and carry it out. You'll do it in the best way possible that you know of. Okay. Hopefully, when people get married, the first few months are like that. You know, they're all sweethearts and nice and flowery and rosy, and they're just waiting for something to be said to do it. Of course, when they start living together for a while, then everything starts changing. But at the beginning, at least, there is that type of a feeling. Now, when we're told to do something, though, that we don't like so much, we like the person maybe, but we're tired right now. We're busy. I have something that I consider more important. I had made plans, and now somebody tells me to do something. And it's somebody that I expect, or I'm expected to listen to them. Then you feel internally you don't want to do this. Okay. How are you going to react? Some people just blow up. Okay. They may start cursing the person out. God forbid, they may start saying things that are wrong. They may start like making a face and saying, you know, why is it that every time I have something important to do, you're telling me to do this? or other forms of reactions that you'll find. The very, very, very least that one can say, alright, the very least, if they tell them to do something that would be considered disrespectful, is to make a face and just say, oh, you know, that's the least that you would say, and then continue doing and go on and do actually what they asked you. Or maybe explain to them why you can't do it. But the very least that can come out of your mouth that would be disrespectful is just a sound. That oof is that. Okay. Oof is the least expression of dissatisfaction with something that they have said. This is what the verse says. Brothers and sisters, the amount of emphasis that we have in our ahadith in regards to respect for our parents, it is enormous. Our fathers, our mothers, while they're alive, sometimes when you start talking about them, I know a lot of people have said, a lot of people say, we wish we could have our parents alive again so we can be kind to them. We've lost that opportunity. Don't allow this opportunity to leave you. Don't allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take this opportunity away from you. Respect of, I'm going to be talking about uquq, disrespect, but let me first emphasize the idea of respect itself, the blessings that come from respecting our parents. When you do something that would make your mother or your father smile and feel satisfied with you, you know how much rewards that has? Forget about the hereafter right here, in this world. If you ever come through hardship, you're going through hardship, it's difficult, you have certain requests, you pray, it's not coming through. You know one of the best tawassulat can be? Go to your parents, especially your mother, because we have a hadith. One of the companions came to the Imam, to the Ma'soom, and asked, who should I respect? The Imam said, your mother. He said, okay, then who should I respect? The Imam said, your mother. A third time, who should I respect after that? Your mother. And then the fourth time, he said, your father. All right. Mothers deserve a lot more respect. They need that kindness more, and we are encouraged to give that more. And now this is besides the points of, inshallah we'll talk about that, about what the mothers have gone through for the children, for us to be who we are. We need to remember that, inshallah we'll talk about that a little bit. But in terms of the rewards, if you go and do something that you know your mother or father likes, without them saying it, just go do it for them. If you're looking for tawassul, we go do ziyarat ashura, you do dua tawassul, you do all of that. Something that can possibly be more effective, because it affects your relationship with the Ahlul Bayt as well, is go and do something your father or your mother, you know they like that if you do it. Do that for them. Make them feel happy and satisfied with you. That's going to open doors for you. Believe me, try it out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world. He knows the dynamics, right? He knows what causes what. If you want ease in this world, as I said, forget about the hereafter. If you want ease in this world, if you want things to just go through without having to go through difficulty, you want to do something, you want to find a job, you want to get married, you're looking for a spouse. If you want things to happen without you even realizing how it happened, so quickly you couldn't even imagine, try this out. Respect your parents. Help your parents out. Do things that you know without them even asking. When they ask, that's something that we need to listen to an extent. We're going to expand on that. But when they haven't asked, show that kindness to them. Bring that smile on their face. Okay, that has enormous effects. If that smile is there and they make one dua for you, just one dua, it's going to be more effective than anything you can imagine. There's a story I'll give from Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah bless it, may Allah keep him alive, give him good health. During the time when he was studying, he first initially started his studies in Mashhad. Okay, now this is not the time for me to expand on his caliber of knowledge. Some people have questioned that, and he's not the type of person to go and say, yeah, I have my credentials. He's not that type of person, but it's very unfortunate for people to do that. He started his studies in Mashhad. He became a mujtahid in Mashhad. Then he went to Najaf for a very short while, and Qum for a longer period of time. When he was in Qum, now he had other brothers as well, but he did this. When he was in Qum, he came to know that his father has lost his sight. He cannot see anymore in Mashhad. Nobody told him to go to Mashhad, leave the studies with the ulama that he was studying with in Qum. The caliber of the ulama that were in Qum, Ayatollah Burujerdi, others, Allama Tabatabai was there at that time. The caliber of these ulama compared to what was there in Mashhad, which they did have good ulama there as well, like Ayatollah Milani was there at that time. He was very knowledgeable, he was a mujtahid from Najaf. However, the caliber of what he would have gotten in Qum, if you would have looked at this simple, what you see on the ground, the simple conditions and factors, would have been more. But as soon as he realized that his father has lost sight and he would benefit if Ayatollah Khamenei would go to Mashhad and help him around wherever he wants to go, take care of him basically. He went, he left Qum, he went back to Mashhad. He went back to Mashhad. The piety of this man and whatever else has happened in his life is probably the result of, or one of the things that's been most effective in that, is this behavior with his father. So, if we want to have an easy life in this world, try to respect your parents. Don't think that if I do it my way, it's going to be, I'm going to get my way. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make it very difficult. Now, the context that we mentioned this idea of respect, remember, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Ahlul Bayt, according to what they have given us, is saying that if we disrespect our parents, if we don't fulfill that right, what's going to happen is our lifespan is even going to be short. There's a direct relationship between these two. We can see in science, you can see the relationship between cancer and your health and your body not functioning any longer, and therefore you die. You can see the relationship between HIV and when that's activated in your body, and the relationship between that and death. You can see the relationship between the heart not functioning and death. But you don't see other things. There are other things that are involved with our lives, how long we're going to live, that are non-material, they are spiritual. And one of them is this. If we disrespect our parents, it is going to shorten our lifespan. If we respect them, it's going to increase that. There's a report, I haven't checked the authenticity, it's a historic account that they say. In the Battle of Badr, one of the mushrikeen, one of the heads of the mushrikeen, his son was a follower of the Holy Prophet. Now he said in the Battle of Badr, because his father was one of the heads of the mushrikeen, he'd created a lot of problems for the believers, for the Muslims, for the Holy Prophet. And now he was one of the heads of the people who'd come, who were fighting the Holy Prophet. He said, if you allow me, this is my father, I want to deal with this. This is my business. I want to fight my father and I want to kill my father. The Holy Prophet said, look, according to this report, his life, since he's coming to fight Islam, if anyone takes his life, it's legitimate. If you do so as well, it's legitimate. However, there's consequences for you. If others do that, there's no consequence, but you are his son. It's not a sin. He deserves it. But if you're the one that takes his life, you're going to die early. There's a direct relationship between how we treat our parents and what happens to us in our lifespan. There's an interesting hadith I found. I was looking through the ahadith and trying to figure out which one to read to you. There's a very nice hadith. We have a book called Ilal al-Shara'i'. Shara'i' is the plural of Sharia. Okay. Ilal is the plural of Illah. The cause of the Shara'i', the cause of the rulings. Why have some of these rulings been mandated upon us? Why are certain things wajib? Why are certain other things haram? A certain level of reasoning and explanation has been mentioned. I thought this is one of the best ahadith that we can use in this regard. It's from Imam Rida Salamullah alayhi. And it's a letter. Somebody had asked him, Muhammad ibn Sinan, according to this report, is quoting this. And he says that the Imam wrote in that letter that harramallah, there's a list of things. One of them is harramallahu uquq al-walidain lima fihi min al-khuruj min at-tawfiq li ta'atillah. For those who are looking for spirituality, for those who are looking for reasons why they're not able to get closer to Allah. Every time you want to do something, you find obstacles on the way. It says, "Uquq al-walidain," disrespect of the parents, has been made haram because of the problems that are in it. What is it? The first effect, "Lima fihi min al-khuruj min at-tawfiq li ta'atillah," because it removes the tawfiq to be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being able to worship God means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide you with that blessing. You can't just decide to do it and it happens. You can't. You want to avoid sin? All these obstacles you find, all of a sudden, you didn't even do, it's not under your control. You saw something at school that just, that's it, you know. It's going to make life very difficult. I cannot commit sin, but it's very difficult. But sometimes, for some people, it's very easy. They don't have some of the obstacles in their way. Well, that itself depends on what we do. It says, "Uququl walidain," and try to start early with this. Disrespect of the parents, even before ubaligh, there's a direct relationship. It's going to cause you, even when you want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not going to be easy for you. There's going to be obstacles. You want to remove those obstacles? Be kind to your parents. If you're not able to wake up for the night prayer, go and check your relationship with your parents. Go and try to like satisfy them. Try to help them out a little more. Try to be kind to them more often. If you want to feel more spiritual, well, that's the way to do it. You got to start there. You can't expect to deal with your parents however way you wish and then be spiritual. No, it's not doable. وَالتَّوْقِيرْ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ, because this causes you not to give the dignity that and the respect that the parents have for you. I'll skip that one because of the shortage of time. There's a couple more of them that I want to explain. وَتَجَنُّبِ كُفْرِ النِّعْمَةِ وَإِبْطَالِ الشُّكْرَ, because disrespecting the parents is being unthankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to those who've been the means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with blessings. All of us, now many of us here are already parents, people that are in the older generation. I myself am a parent. Many of us are not parents. You're not going to understand certain things about your relationship with your parents until you yourself are a parent. You experience that. You know how much difficulty our parents have gone through for us? The mother You're going to get married, those of you who are not, and you'll go through this process. The difficulties of pregnancy for both parents, for the mother and for the father that has to deal with that. He's got to work outside, he's got to deal with this as well. Things come up, you got to go to the hospital, she's not feeling well. All kinds of things are going to be happening. It's very, very difficult. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ عَلَى كُرْهٍ, if I get the words right in the verse of the Holy Qur'an. That the mother has taken difficulty, has gone through difficulty to have this child and to bear this child. After we are born, every night and every day our parents have had to deal with us. You will have to deal with that as well one day when you get married and when you have your children. It's not going to be easy. You hear some of these ridiculous stories of people through, like in pregnancy itself, go through abortion. They don't want to have kids. They don't want to go through their difficulty. That's a great sin. It's not our topic. I'm not going to expand on that. They don't even want to have the child. They abort. Then when the child is born, you hear some really, really bad stories about how people treat their children, and sometimes they even kill them. Because it's nerve-wracking. You want to go to sleep, you want to wake up in the morning, go to work, and this child is constantly screaming and crying, and whatever you do doesn't seem to work. You've taken the child 5 times to the doctor, you still don't know what's going on. Alright? And the parents have had the patience to deal with you. You're alive, you're... They've been not only just... They haven't just taken the difficulties, they've been kind to you. After all the trouble that you gave your mother, then when you smiled, that just brought a big smile on your mother's face. Okay. And they did what they did for us. When you were growing up, when we were growing up, when you start growing up, you start understanding more, alright? Then you start disobeying more. When we're children, you're only like 4 or 5. How many times, like, parents understand this? I have a child that's 6 years old. Okay. I know what it is to deal with the child. Because we also have restrictions. I want to talk about that as well. Parents have got restrictions. You want to get them to do something that's right for them? They don't want to listen. They want to stay up until 12 o'clock midnight. You want to get them to sleep. What are you going to do with that? They don't want to listen. Get in your room. They don't want to listen. Okay. Parents have had to deal with this every day and every night. And now we're 12, 13, 14, in our late teens. What we think of our parents is not that way. We don't see them as people that are caring for us a lot of times. We see them as people that are keeping us from having fun. No, they're always trying to do what they think is best for you. Shukrun ni'ma. Just think of all that hardship when you want to think of all the hardship that your parents have gone through. And when you disrespect them, how many times you've cried and you've whined for ice cream and they've given it to you. And now they're telling you to do something and you're throwing a fit and you don't want to do it. They end up getting up and doing it. They're cleaning up your mess. Brothers and sisters, we've got to realize, become a little more, grow up a bit more, become a little more mature regarding that, remind ourselves of that. So I'll leave the rest of that hadith. There's a lot of interesting other points that we have there. Remember all the hardship and don't let it reach an age where you don't have the ability to respect them any longer. Okay. When you become a parent, your parents are going to be old. God forbid if we don't even realize it at that time. Some of us, unfortunately, the guy has his own children and his parents say something to him, and thinking that they are protecting their family and their own children, they disrespect their parents. And only when the parents leave this world, they die, they come and ask us, Malana, what can we do to like bless the soul of our parents? They feel guilty inside. Don't let that happen to you. Try to change your behavior with your parents. Now, I only have 5 minutes, or a little less than that. I wanted to spend more time on this part of my talk. Let's see how much we can get done. There's a responsibility for the children towards their parents, which we try to expand on a bit. I mean, there's a lot more that we can go on to remind ourselves, to remember how important it is. We should feel guilty if we treat our parents, mistreat them, if we treat them badly. But that responsibility on our shoulders, which is a right that the parents have on us, right and responsibility, when we're talking about two people, if we have a responsibility towards that person, the flip side of that is that they will have a right over us. But I want to say, for parents, and parents-to-be, this part of it is for the parents and for parents to be. Don't forget this when you grow up and you become a parent. And you have a child that's your age right now. Remember what you're going through right now? The rights that parents have over their children has got limits and boundaries. We're told the responsibility is to respect parents. It is not to obey them. Okay, there's a difference here. And I want to make that distinction clear for the parents. And children, don't listen to this, to go and tell your dad or your mom, oh, you're not supposed to do this, or I can do this, or what. Listen to this as a future parent, how you're going to deal with your child. Okay. That responsibility that a child has towards their parents is limited to a certain extent. They have got to respect, not obey. All right? It doesn't become wajib for them to be obedient. Let me give a simple example that we talked about. My parent tells me, or I tell my child, let me give that other, the flip side of that. I tell my child to do something. It's not wajib on them to do it. If they can do it and they do it, it's great for them. It's a blessing. If they don't do it and they bring an excuse for it, if that excuse is a legitimate one, they're not trying to disrespect me, and the words that they use are not disrespectful, they didn't commit any sin. Overall, don't expect obedience from your children because they don't have that responsibility towards you. And when you tell your children to do something, when you want to guide them, don't force them. We don't have the right to force our children to do things, even for doing things that are wajib on them. Things that God has said are wajib. We're talking about, look, we've said this before, our outlook on things should always be from the perspective of what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, who's got rights over us, who we have responsibilities towards. Not the way we feel about it, not the way culture dictates. Look at it the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has outlined our relationship. Even where He has said something is wajib and obligation, I don't have the right to physically force my child to do that. For prayers, for example, Imam Khomeini never, because of the Ahadith, never woke his children up for prayer unless they asked for it. Or unless, yeah, there's another case, that they've become so negligent of it, so disrespectful, one can say, towards prayer. They don't even have any, like, they don't plan to wake up for Fajr time. And that's become a habit. That's when we need to get on to them a bit. But again, physically forcing them. If you try to wake them up a few times, they don't wake up. Or they wake up, they don't pray. Well, don't leave that for that day. Don't keep on insisting, getting them up and getting them to start crying because you want to make them pray and they don't want to pray. Don't do that. And God forbid if we use the hand on them or anything else. That's a sin. That is a sin. If it's done intentionally. One of the daughters of Imam Khomeini, this will be the last thing, we're going to have to continue this topic because it's important tomorrow night, inshallah. One of Imam Khomeini's daughters narrates this, that her older daughter had done something that Imam Khomeini had told her not to. She had gone over the house and she was pretty young. She was, I think, 9 years old. She was baligh, obviously. And they had a son that was 12 years old. And they weren't going to have any type of like interaction maybe even when they went there. But he had told her not to go over their house any longer now that she's baligh. And she had gone. And when she came back, when Imam Khomeini got to know about this, he really got on to her and as to why she had done that. Apparently, he had something in his hand that he didn't use it on his daughter at all, but somehow it broke and it hit the foot or the leg of this daughter of his. He didn't even notice that. The younger daughter got to know that she has been bruised because of that. It wasn't intentionally done, but it was through something that Imam Khomeini had done. He didn't even know it hit her. When she told Imam Khomeini that night, he checked it. It was like somewhere on her, maybe on her shanks somewhere. And doesn't explain where exactly it was. Imam Khomeini saw it and was like, okay, there's a diya that he has to pay. And he paid that diya. There's certain blood money, certain amount of gold that he had to pay her for that. We can't do whatever we wish with the parents. I'd like to continue with that, inshallah, in the following us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to the teachings of the religion and to be able to, inshallah, then practice them. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.